Hey, BillO'Reilly.com premium members, welcome to the No Spin News for the 20th of June already, 2017. We are on audio again today because, as I explained yesterday, we are putting in a different camera video system, which we'll have up and running on Thursday. So I zipped out here to Montauk, one of the most beautiful places on earth, and recording this No Spin News for you just on audio. We have Laura Ingram on program today. She is reported to be in the running to be the White House spokesperson to represent Mr. Trump. We'll get to the bottom of that. And I always like talking to Laura. She's a very good person and runs a very successful enterprise. All right, let's get to the news. You know, President Trump has not been provocative for a few days, which is a good thing, I think, for the nation. However, the left-wing press continues to search for things to hammer him with. And there is a special congressional election in Georgia today featuring a Democrat, John Ossoff, against Republican Karen Handel. All right, so the Washington Post and other anti-Trump organs are billing this as like, well, if Handel loses and the Democrat gets in, it's a big loss for Trump, on and on. You know the deal. And the president has tweeted in favor of Ms. Handel. But here's the real story, and this is a Daily Caller exposition. I have to congratulate on this. Ossoff has raised nine times as much money in California than he has in Georgia. This is the most expensive House race ever, all right? And the Democrat Ossoff has more than 7,000 donations from California, according to the Mercury News out there. It's amazing. It's amazing how much money is coming from the progressive precincts of California into Georgia. And you know what this is all about. Everybody knows what this is all about. So we'll report tomorrow what happens there, but it's a money play. Georgia is changing. It's not as conservative as it used to be. And this is a suburb of Atlanta, this district. And it is, as I said, the most expensive House race in history. All right, Ossoff has $15 million at his disposal. Right now, he's raised altogether $23 million. That's amazing. Handel, the Republican, has raised about $4.2 million. All right, there is a poll out, a CBS poll. It says, is tone and civility declining, the same, or getting better? Yeah. And this is all about politics. 7% of Americans say the political debate in the country is getting better, 68% getting worse, 24% stays the same. Now, anybody knows it's getting worse. Come on. It's just crazy. There is no civility in this country. And that is directly at the feet of the internet. I mean, it is brutal, brutal. If you go into political websites and you look at the comments, even some of the websites themselves, I try to stay away from that because my job is to get you news that's true, facts that are true, and you simply can't do it in that arena. And that brings us to how President Trump is presenting himself, all right, to the nation. So he's most effective when he goes out and he gives speeches because, you know, he's good at that. And he feels comfortable with his followers around him. But he can't do that every day. He can't even do it every week. So he has to have a spokesperson. So right now, Sean Spicer is the face of it, and that's not really going too well. So it looks like Spicer is going to get moved to another job, and they're looking for a new White House spokesperson. One name that has been bantered around, very high profile, is Laura Ingram. Ms. Ingram, a lawyer, clerk for Clarence Thomas, knows Congress in and out, knows Washington, lived there for many years, obviously outspoken, very tough. You know, to me, that would be a fascinating choice. So Ms. Laura was kind enough to talk to us earlier today. Okay, Laura Ingraham in the news because there are rumors that she is being considered to be the White House spokesperson. So we have her here. Is that they talked to you about the job yet, Laura?
Well, I haven't had any formal interviews. And I think my name tends to pop up every time people start talking about reorganizing communications for whatever reason. But I haven't had any formal interviews with anybody about that. And I never really saw myself as a press secretary. That's not really probably the best use of what I would do. I mean, if I ever went into the government, it would be, I think, more, you know, maybe communications and heading up like communication strategy and more policy communications with like the occasional jousting with the press. But
want to be a decision maker. But with the Trump situation, it becomes almost crisis management. Or has become almost crisis management now. So I wasn't surprised that they might be looking at you. But I just want to go on a record. Nobody from the Trump campaign has said, come on in, we want to talk to you about the job.
No, I said I haven't had a formal interview.
Ah.
you have to listen really carefully,
O'Reilly. They might have called you up.
We're always, we always talk. You know, these guys are people I've known for, known them for almost as long as I've known you, for like two decades. So, they're always picking my brain, and I always offer unsolicited advice to all these people.
I understand. A lot of politicians call me all the time. I tell the audience that if somebody asks me for my opinion and I feel that that's being done sincerely, I'll give it to them. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat or whatever. And I talk to a bunch of people. All right. So we're going to say that you're not going to do it for now. If it changes, please let us know. But let's talk about the job itself, because you have a hostile press in the White House, right? Would you say 90% are hostile toward Mr. Trump?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, Bill, that at least 9 out of 10 reporters is, committed Democrat. And it's fine. It's the Democrats in the past who've done reporting and have been pretty even handed. And so I don't think that discounts, someone from being necessarily a little bit more objective. But what I kind of see as having happened is it's more of a hit squad that we see on a daily basis. Everyone's trying to outdo the other for the television cameras versus do the kind of reporting on the substantive issues that drove the electorate. The electorate didn't go out and vote because of our relationship with Russia. They went out and voted because they wanted Washington fundamentally changed. And I think there are things that are being done slowly, too slowly for my taste, that are actually very helpful in that regard. And they're not really interested in advancing that conversation.
No,
it really is just the gotcha moments, which is fine. I mean, every now and then, but
that's what their bosses want. I mean, the New York Times, Washington Post, they don't want objective reporting. They want make them look like a fool. Because we don't believe that he should be in there in the first place. So, that's the agenda. So if you, and this is a hypothetical, but I think it's one that has value. If you're in there and you know that, and you know that the questions are loaded, they're not looking for the truth. They're certainly not looking for the truth. They're looking to make President Trump and, by extension, anybody representing him to look bad. So what do you do? Do you call that out every time it happens, or do you try to answer the question in some kind of context?
Yeah, I think you can do a little bit of both. I mean, I think there are probably ways of dealing with the hungry press that might be a little bit more disarming than coming at them, coming at the jugular. I mean, there's only so much you're going to get accomplished doing that. I mean, I think it's better to maybe give the few journalists who are doing a good job, a strong performance, give them their props when they do really powerful reporting, even maybe sometimes when
they'll be complimentary. Be complimentary to some of them. But the problem that Sean Spicer and to some extent Governor Huckabee's daughter are having is that sometimes Donald Trump, the president, issues contradictory statements, and sometimes he says something on Twitter that's provocative. And then, you're right away up against, you got 15 questions coming in, and you have to make your boss look good, and sometimes it's very hard.
It is. It's a difficult position to be put in. And I think, again, that's where I think it would be helpful to have somebody in the communications department who perhaps he's known a little bit longer and can relate a little bit more to their own work experience. And I think Sean is actually under really difficult circumstances.
Oh, sure.
I actually think he's done a really, really good job. I mean, you know, yeah, there are moments they got him and they ridicule him on Saturday Night Live. Big deal. They do that all the time. I don't think that means anything. But I think he's under very difficult circumstances. I think he's given as good as he's gotten. And I think I actually think he's done a pretty good job. If I had to grade him, I'd grade him a solid B under these circumstances. It's hard. It's really, really difficult.
The problem with Mr. Spicer, though, is that he hasn't broken through to the American people. And you know, Tony Snow, who I thought was excellent at his job when he was defending Bush the Younger, he had charisma. He was larger than life. He looked like he was in command. Spicer doesn't really look like he's in command out there. You would. See, I'm giving Ms. Ingram a compliment here. If I were Trump and I say, look, I need somebody authoritative at that podium because they're trying to point me, they're trying to position me as an incompetent who doesn't know what he's doing. I need somebody out there to really set them straight. So I need somebody as strong as Laura Ingram or, you know, anyone who you feel has authority. Mm-hmm. Snow had it. Spicer doesn't. That's the problem.
I think part of it is that, you know, getting off on the size of the crowd fixation that they had early on.
Yeah,
it was the travel ban.
Thing,
and it was
right.
like, one thing after another. So it's almost like he didn't have time to get his footing because there was such a mad rush to confront the press, to establish that we were bigger, we were better, and everybody was getting their feet wet. I do think that, you know, the power of the satire and Saturday Night Live and the endless loop of the mimicking of people, the left is really smart. They know that the way you defeat people among the younger voters, young people in general, the way to defeat them is to frame them unfairly with a cultural frame that is inescapable. So it was very difficult for Sean, even though I think he's actually done a really, really strong job, especially over the last 3 months. It's difficult to escape that trap they set and that you stepped into unwittingly. It's almost like you can't get out of it.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
the left
I agree
is
with
very
you.
Good at that.
In the beginning, it was so insane, and then this ongoing Russia thing, where they're the press is hysterical about
hysteria.
It. But they're using it as what you said. They're using it as a narrative to portray Trump as a corrupt guy who shouldn't be there. It always goes back to that. Now, the final thing I want to talk to you about is the way you have a website, LifeZet, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm now, this is new for me. We've had BillO'Reilly.com for years, but now the power that I have is coming out of the internet. And I like it because I don't have a boss and I can talk right to the folks and there's no commercials and they can attack me, but it really doesn't matter. When I had to work for Fox News, I mean, they attack Fox News every single day. And because of the management shift, the strategy shifted that it used to be, we'll fight the attacks. And then it was, well, we won't fight them. And as soon as they stopped fighting them, all hell broke loose. And the far left accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. They marginalized to some extent Fox News. It's not as powerful as it used to be. I think that's accurate and fair. Would you say so far?
I think that what's very difficult is when people are used to seeing a lineup and you were a touchstone, like as crazy as the world was getting and had been and the ups and downs of the culture and politics, wars and then political scandals, you know, there was always O'Reilly. And I think, and I said this on my show last week, you were so smart to anchor your identity in the who's looking out for you, you know, the no spin zone, who is looking out for you. And people, I really think, miss that. They miss that sense that, okay, I got to hear what O'Reilly's saying about
this.
But, you know, that was a grounding for people.
And that's
when
why
you
we
upend
would,
that.
That's why we would target number one. And
right?
that, you know, eventually, after 20 years and 7 months, the far left got what they wanted. But the bigger question is, because of the fragmentation of American viewing habits, you know, if you look at the cable news ratings, there are not a lot of people watching. I mean, they're losing. They're losing audience. ESPN's collapsing. Nightly news is collapsing. Look what happened to Megyn Kelly on Sunday night with that crazy interview. 3.5 million people? Nobody
You got more than that on. You got more than that on just regular night.
People are going to this forum. They're going to BillO'Reilly.com, LifeZet. They're going there, and that makes it harder for all politicians to formulate a message that gets through.
Mm-hmm.
But what the far left has succeeded in doing is they've organized a cabal of people. That echo chamber, everything they say. Some of them are paid. Some of them are paid outright to do it. But the right has nothing like that.
No. In fact, instead, independents who tend to be more traditionalists and conservatives are more interested in scoring academic points on one another and imposing ideological purity tests. And holding this person accountable for this view on trade, or that person said the wrong thing on Islamophobia, instead of saying, look, this is our general philosophy. We're going to differ around some of the edges, but this is our overall philosophy. Our alternative was the Clintons back again in power with all the corruption that we knew would come along with it. We have this guy in the White House. He's not perfect. Nobody is. We're going to be all for one for all. We'll work out our differences. It'll be a fun family feud for a while, but we're going to work it out. We're going to put some points on the board. That's what the Democrats do. They actually hold each other up during difficult times. And instead, the Republicans eat their own, and that's why they have been so ineffective in this period of being in the majority. Woefully ineffective. Pathetic.
Yeah. And
never
now
seen
with the Fox News Channel having some kind of organizational problems, that
they
gives
need Fox they
even
need
more
Fox.
Power. To the progressive left. Look, I want to tell everybody, I've known Laura Ingraham, as she pointed out, for a couple of decades now. She's always been an honest woman. I mean, never, ever have I seen her not put forth an opinion, a strong point of view in a well-thought-out manner. Never have I seen a flip-flop. Never have I seen hypocrisy, ever. And that's, like, stunning. I mean, so if you do...
Well, thank you.
If you do work for Trump or any president... I think you could really, really help them. So, look, I want you to be happy. I know what a good mom you are, and that job takes an enormous amount of time. I want you to be a happy person, but you would help anybody with whom you believe. You'd have to believe in them. I mean, you couldn't do it if you didn't. But I wanted my audience, the millions of people who follow us here, to know that. And I really appreciate you taking the time. Laura, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right. So again, we thank Laura Ingraham, and you should go to her website, LifeZet. And it's an interesting experience to be in this internet world for me. All right, let's get back to some of the news. In Canada, they've passed a law that makes it illegal to use wrong gender pronouns. Canada's Senate passed Bill C-16, which puts gender identity and gender expression into both the country's human rights code as well as the hate crime category of its criminal code. All right, that passed in the Canadian Senate 67-11 in Ottawa. All right, so that means that if you on purpose call a transgendered person the wrong pronoun, so if it's a she and you say it's a he because he was born a he or she was born a he, see, I would already be prosecuted for making that mistake, you could be in trouble. It's a political correct play. I can't imagine anybody will be prosecuted, but it's on the books in Canada. Okay? Not a good thing. But we live in a politically correct madhouse world. North Korea, Otto Warmbier, I'm sure you know, has died. 22-year-old went over to North Korea, tried to take home a souvenir. They threw him in jail, came back with brain damage, passed away. They killed him, they being the North Korean administration. So they killed him, okay? The Chinese tour agency that organizes trips to North Korea where Americans can sign on says it will no longer do that. I think President Trump should immediately say no travel to North Korea by Americans for the foreseeable future. I'd also move a couple of warships, as I said earlier this week, off the coast of North Korea and kind of dare them to do anything about it. I wouldn't violate the international waters. It's 12 miles, but 12 miles and one-tenth, I'd sit some warships out there. Okay? Send him a message. Now, you can't go in and bomb or anything like that. I mean, you just can't. But they did kill an American citizen, and anything that we can do to make North Korea's life more difficult, we should do. Okay? All right. So that's pretty much it. There's not a lot of other stuff floating around here that influences your life. Remember, on BillO'Reilly.com, No Spin News, what we try to do are stories that influence you directly, your life directly. But I have a great amount of good mail, so I'm going to spend some time on that right now. Virginia Dios is Port Richie, Florida. Sorry, Bill, you totally lost me on your Mueller comment. How can you say you're okay with him when he has been friends with Comey for decades? Whatever happened to conflict of interest? Look, Virginia, I'm not analyzing the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller, from any point of view other than he was appointed by the Justice Department, okay? So that's a fact. He's there. It would be a disaster if President Trump removes him. A disaster. So it's not going to happen. I can't imagine it happening. All right. But the bottom line on Mueller is this. In his presentation to the public and to Congress, he has to come up with facts. Facts. Not Comey's opinion. Not whether he doesn't like Trump or this or that, or he likes Trump. He likes Comey. It doesn't matter. It's all about facts. And the facts have to be in stone. So let him do what he does, and we'll see how it shakes. George West, Hoover, Alabama. Bill, love the new format and freedom it gives you to tell us what you really think, which I always did on TV, George. But here, I was thinking about it this morning. I don't have any time restraints. See, I had to keep it pithy and really, you know, tightly restrain what the segments were, because we had six of them on the Factor, and we had time constraints. Here we don't have any. That's a big advantage. Joseph Thomas, and he writes to me on the bill@billoreilly.com email line, bill@billoreilly.com. Bill, quite simply, I've had it with North Korea. It's time they paid a price. Okay, we have a poll on BillO'Reilly.com, what would you do? And it's interesting because most people would say, you know, we really can't. We've got to be very methodical about this. Can't just go in and bomb something like that. Cheryl Mann Hall, Port Angeles, Washington. Why can't the Trump administration sue for slander or libel or both? Seemed to me that would encourage the news to do their homework and get the facts straight. If you're a public person in America, as I am, very hard to sue. Very, very hard. We have far fewer protections than you do. And it is frustrating to me. Cheryl, it's wrong. But if you're famous, they can almost say anything they want about you, particularly if you're president. Florencia Valdez, coming Georgia. Bill, you mentioned on Friday that the mainstream news is unwatchable. Which news sources do you respect enough to read or watch? You know, look, I still sample TV news, but not nearly the way I used to. And I turn fast when I hear BS. I just get out. And I see the numbers, I see the ratings, and the whole thing is tottering, you know, and I do believe it'll collapse. I think this Trump thing, even people who don't like President Trump, Florencia, they know what he's getting. They know what it is, that it's dishonest. I read the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I go to CBSnews.com for their headlines and what they're looking at. I go to the Washington Post for their headlines, and I don't read their opinion columns because I know what they are. It's a waste of time. but they'll give you a pretty good primer of what's going on in Washington. So I'm floating right now. I'm floating around. And I listen to CBS News Radio in the morning at 8 o'clock, the World News Roundup. Elaine Fiveland, Sun City, California, just watched the clips from your Westbury, Long Island show with Miller. I saw you in Los Angeles, and that was great, but this one looks to be equally so. I laughed out loud, and not much elicits that these days. We need you as a news commentator, but I really love you as an interviewer. I know you admire Johnny Carson. You are the best interviewer alive today. Well, that's very nice of you to say, Elaine. And, you know, that skill is something that I developed over many, many years. Carson was a magnetic television presence. Not a great interviewer. Mike Wallace was the best interviewer of all time, in my opinion. I watched every move he made. He was unbelievable. But, you know, the skill set that I have is something I'm proud of. You can see the show with Dennis Miller, you guys, if you haven't watched it yet. We have posted a clip from Westbury. Everybody seemed to enjoy in that. And, you know, we have the four shows coming up that we want everybody to see us in Baltimore on September 22nd, Friday night. Tampa, Florida, the Amalie Arena on September 23rd. Vegas and Caesars Palace. That show's almost sold out. If you want to see us in Vegas, you got to move it. December 15th, Anaheim, California, also selling very briskly. Saturday, December 16th. Tickets make for the December shows make great early Christmas gifts. And those are the only shows that Miller and I, we got four more left, and we'll flip you over to the box office on BillO'Reilly.com, make it easy for you. So check that out. Linda Park is in Westboro, Massachusetts. Bill, outstanding interview with you and Miller. Thanks so much. My goodness, your voices are so needed at this time. I used to love the opening message on the Legends and Lies series when Dermot Mulroney said that news is the first draft of history. How I wish every journalist would think that way. And you and Miller do. Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed the clip and the interview yesterday with Miller. Linda, we have one of the great things about the podcast and doing this BillO'Reilly.com stuff is that you can, if you miss it one day, you can access it. We have it for you. Okay? So you can, you know, that's great. You missed the factor, you missed the factor. But not now. You can get it. Jonathan Manco, North Aurora, Illinois. Has the president signed up for premium membership yet? I don't think he has, but he's following us on Twitter. We have 2 million Twitter followers. And I don't even know how that. I think it's at Bill O'Reilly. And, you know, we want you to spread the word. Follow us on Twitter and come to BillO'Reilly.com premium membership. And you get free books. You get Old School Life in the Sane Lane, or you get Killing the Rising Sun and Legends and Lies of Civil War, doing great. Doing just great. And, you know, we're going to get that series on the air. I don't know when, but it's shot. It's really good. But if you like the Civil War, Legends and Lies of Civil War. And just today, the children's book off Killing the Rising Sun is out, When the World Went Nuclear. All right. And, you know, kids need to know. I don't think a lot of the urchins understand the power of the weaponry that is available. They can wipe out every single human being on this planet. So The Day the World Went Nuclear is out today. We do a children's book off all of the adult books, all the Killing series. So, and you want that book free, we'll send it to you. So anyway, look, another great day. And I really appreciate you guys being premium members. And I appreciate Laura Ingram coming on. She's very busy. We're trying to round up Bernie Goldberg later on this week and a few others. I'll be back on video. You'll be able to see me on Thursday, but check in tomorrow on the audio band. And I really appreciate you guys being premium members.